Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast with Kate Conway, a radio, TV, webinar, and podcast presenter. Wow, wee Kate, you've got a lot going on there. So, Kate, first of all, thanks very much for agreeing to do this. It's been in the pipeline for a wee while, but eventually we get here. So, again, so thank you.
No worries, my pleasure. Thank you for asking.
Not at all. So we'll get straight into it. So tell us a wee bit about yourself and how you got yourself into the media industry.
Oh my goodness. Well, that would fill the whole podcast if I told you the whole story.
Yeah. Well, give us the sort of diluted version.
I'll give you the short version.
Okay.
I used to work in marketing in Belfast Met.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I took that job, despite the fact that I was going to have to speak in public, I was going to have to go to schools and deliver talks about courses that, you know, 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds could go on to do at Belfast Met.
Mm-hmm.
I hated public speaking. You couldn't have had me anywhere, like at the front of a room or anything. And so I did the job, and then I had to force myself to get over the fear of public speaking. And a few years later, I ended up selling kettles and toasters on QVC. And
right.
Then after that, got a phone call to say, did I want to demo to be on the radio with Stephen Clements?
Wow.
And do the breakfast show.
Mm-hmm.
So the bridge there just was that I was also doing voiceovers for radio and TV ads.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing those since 2006. So you would hear me. A lot of people don't realise that's my voice on ads, like, hi, Carly, the carpet bedding specialist and things like that. You know, so,
yeah.
So it was through doing those that then I met the man who was then the managing director of Q Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that brought me into radio. So that's the very short version of it.
Right. And how long were they met for? Because my daughter's there and she's studying photography and videography.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I left there in 2009.
Yeah.
So it's a long time since I've been there. Seems like another lifetime.
Oh, yeah, she's still in primary school. But anyway, so... how did you get through? You know, okay, You're in the media. Is it a stressful job?
It's like anything. It's as stressful as you let it be.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've kind of developed a sort of a sense of calm that somehow comes over me at very stressful situations. It used to be incredibly stressful, but
mm-hmm.
I've kind of got, now that I've been doing it for a while, like. I do so many things that are stressful, like again, public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll host awards dues, and I'll do, obviously, live radio is quite stressful because, you know, people are listening to you and judging
mm-hmm.
you and,
mm-hmm.
you know, your performance and whatever every day. But I think I've reached a point where I'm just like, meh. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The way I just approach it, I'm just like, I'm just a human being trying
mm-hmm.
to do something to make people laugh or to, you know, to help people have a bit of fun in their day. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's it. And I think from going out from point of view, it's just like, I'm a human being. If I make a mistake, that's okay. But I've
mm-hmm.
found that whenever I do make a mistake on the radio, people like that.
Yeah.
People like it. If you make a mistake and you go, oh, I've just pushed the wrong button.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, people kind of come along with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's if you try to cover it up, then, you know, people, you know, can see through that. But
mm-hmm.
I think if you let your guard down and just let yourself be human, it makes it much easier.
Yeah. And do you do anything to relax yourself? I mean, we've just had a couple of years of lockdown, which is, looking back, I unbelievable how we've all come through that. Do you have any hobbies? Do you practice mindfulness, yoga, Pilates, or do you do any of that? Or did you develop anything new during lockdown? Any hobbies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, tell us.
I did. I walked a lot. I walked 4 miles a day during lockdown. But more importantly than that, I went swimming in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So, because obviously, like I lost Stephen Clements, who was my best friend, sort of just before we went into lockdown.
Yep.
So I was already in a bad place before we even went into lockdown.
Yeah.
But that gave me, if you like, a sort of a little cocoon to grieve in. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to kind of say to people, oh, I can't go out. I can't go out, or I can't go to work, or I can't, you know, I didn't need any excuses for anything because everybody had to stay in the house anyway. But a friend of mine then introduced me to swimming in the sea. So myself and him would go really regularly down to Helens Bay. He'd been doing it for years and sort of said to me, try this. And at the time, it seemed like the most far-fetched thing that I could do, because I have an electric blanket on my sofa and my bed. And I have a Wi-Fi plug, so I can turn the electric blanket upstairs on. Yes. So that I only have to walk through the house, not with an electric blanket around me. So the thought of swimming in the cold, I was like, yes, no way. But just the state of mind that I was in at the time, I would have tried anything. And so I still go, I aim for once a week. Sometimes I get to go more, sometimes I get to go a wee bit less, but it averages out about once a week. And it has absolutely, like, it saved me. I can't stress enough how much it has done for me.
Now, you've said swimming, and they say a couple of questions to that. Do you put a wetsuit on?
No.
No. So even in wintertime, it's no wetsuit?
No. Well, no. I have a wetsuit, mm-hmm. but if I want to stay in and swim for proper exercise, yes, I'll wear that. Say I wanted to stay in 25 minutes, half an hour, mm-hmm. to swim. But if I'm just getting in for the benefits of the cold, really in the winter, there's a bit of a sort of a rule, but I don't know how true this is, but they say stay in for 1 minute per degree. So if they say it's 6 degrees, stay in 6 minutes. But generally your body tells you when it's time to get back out. Because when you get in, you're cold, but your body regulates the temperature, so you start to feel warm again. Mm-hmm. But if you start to feel cold again after that, it's time to get out.
Right.
So you just really stay in. So in the winter, I don't stay in as long, but I find whenever I go in with the wetsuit on, my brain can't cope with it. It's like, whoa, because it's expecting to be cold, but it's not. And it's a really odd experience. You know, it's like something just, your brain's just like, this doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, I know what I need to do now, but I don't need to do it. And so, no. And again, that seems so far-fetched because I really don't like the cold, but it's something about getting in and you're in the sea and you see, you know, all the scenery and birds and different things, and then your body regulates the temperature. And there's something to do the mind and body, that whole experience that is just very, very good for your brain.
Do you swim or do you stand still?
A bit of both.
Right, okay.
To be honest, it depends who we go with.
Yeah.
It depends who I go with, because I've so many different groups of people I know now that do it, and a lot of them have met, and that's another good thing about it. Whenever you go, there's a bit of an unwritten rule again that everybody who's there swimming in the sea is there to try and heal something. Mm-hmm. So everybody's on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
And you meet so many friends, and even if you go, you really shouldn't get in the sea by yourself, but if you end up going by yourself, you'll easily meet people to go in with, because everybody's so friendly and everybody, you know, it's very welcoming. So that connection with other people has been really important as well. I think I've forgotten the question.
No, it's okay. It's about swimming, because we've gone on with this. But what do you call the guy that does the cold water stuff? Hoffmeister or
Wim
something?
Wim Hof.
Wim Hof.
You're thinking of
Wim Hof.
You're thinking of David Hasselhoff. Yeah.
Are you going on the Baywatch now, flip me? Or Knight Rider is probably more my time, or David Hasselhoff. Yeah, very good. Okay. Right, I suppose on to the next question then. Do you have any funny stories that you'd like to share about people, or any interesting wee things about yourself?
There's anything interesting. Well, something that a lot of people don't know about me is I'm a really big Elvis fan, and I've been to Graceland 5 times.
Wow.
And when I got married, I had an Elvis impersonator at my wedding.
No way.
And I was slightly more excited about that than anything else.
Class. So a big Elvis fan.
Yeah. What about you? Are you a...
Well, I don't want to say too much. Yeah. No, I do. I would be. I do quite like Elvis. Yep. Oh yep. I have him on my wee playlist and all. Yeah. And my favourite song is, it's my favourite song, and I can't even remember it. You talk about a bit of pressure being on radio. Trouble. If you're looking for trouble, you know that one.
Oh,
it's an early one. I like early Elvis, sort of. late '50s, early '60s. I'm not so keen Elvis in the sort of late on in the '60s, early '70s. But
the comeback Elvis, like the very start of Elvis when he was before he kind of got too hyped up. Yeah, but me too. But I'm a big fan of the movie Elvis movies as well. You know, so it was the whole package Elvis. Yeah. When you go to Graceland, and it's just so surreal because you expect Graceland to be absolutely massive, but it's not. It's just like, it just feels like a normal house. Jim, it doesn't feel like a big massive mansion like you might see celebrities have now.
Yeah,
it feels like a normal house, and then you're walking around the garden and you're like, I can't believe this is where Elvis lived. But you go in and have this squash court, all it's sort of turned into like part of the museum, if you like. So as you walk around, they have all of his clothes there and glass cases. So, you know, it starts out with some of his earlier outfits, you know, like Jailhouse Rock and things like that. And then go through to the, you know, the comeback special, the black leather, whatever. And then it starts going to the jumpsuits. And they just get bigger and bigger. Every time you look, you can see the progression in Elvis's size just through the outfit. It's a fascinating. One day you'll need to go.
I would love to, yes. Someday, maybe. Yeah. Okay, so I guess then, heroes or mentors when you were growing up, anybody sort of steer you in this direction into the media, or anybody that you can think of who...
Not so much steer me into this. Well, suppose if it was anybody that I kind of thought, well, if I was on TV, that's who I'd like to be like. It would be Davina McCall, hands down, because she just seems like she's the same person on camera and off camera. Mm-hmm. And I've heard from people who have kind of known her or worked with her or whatever, that she is exactly the same. She is the same person. And I think that that's very important, because I believe in authenticity and, you know, you shouldn't, and you do need to be slightly different on air and off air.
Yes.
Just because, you know, there's certain things you don't talk about, or certain things, you know. But also, it's not all about you when you're on TV or radio. It's about facilitating, you know, other people to do or say what they need to do. Mm-hmm. So I think for her, definitely, I think always really liked her. She just seemed very approachable, very friendly, and again, just the same person on and off. But the person that I loved most when I was growing up was Princess Diana. Mm-hmm. I'm still a bit obsessed by Princess Diana. I loved her because she was just so, she just seemed so human.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you only really saw, you know, sort of a fraction really of who she really was, but it really shone through just how kind she was and the empathy she had for people. And you could tell that whenever she met people, they felt comfortable with her. And I think that kind of said a lot to me just as I was growing up, because, you know, I'm not really a fan of the royal family in general at all, but just here was this person who belonged in this set of people, but was very different and wasn't afraid to step outside what the boundaries were in those days. And I just still a bit fascinated by her.
And I did think that she had the connection. There's a lot of people who would not sort of follow the royal family, but were very interested in Princess Diana. Yep, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful person.
So I'm doing a bit of a research there, and obviously, as I'm part of the Belfast Men's Health Group, one of our members is from Awer, and they put me on to you. So I know that you are an ambassador for Awer.
That's right.
The depression charity. So how do you find that work, Kate?
I find it equal measures very difficult and very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason I'm an ambassador is, you know, what they approached me after Stephen died. And so I love to do that, because in a way, I mean, it's something I've always been passionate about, you know, because I've experienced anxiety and depression, to be honest, as long as I can remember. You know, I can remember being very sort of distressed as a child, you know, seeing things on TV and starting to catastrophize in my brain, you know, because I grew up sort of in the 80s when there was all that. Remember that TV program, When the Wind Blows, and there was all that worry about the nuclear war, and
that
we were sent out, you know, protect and survive, and all of those things. I remember just that really having an impact on me as a child, and so I feel like, you know, I went through like sort of peaks and troughs of depression, and, you know, got, you know, worse in my teens and early 20s, and kind of ebbed and flowed. So it's always something that I've kind of felt, well, this is part of my life, and, you know, I want to express that, and I want to, because it was, you know, obviously until quite recently seemed to be something that you hid and you didn't tell anybody, and you weren't encouraged to be open about it. And the first, actually, sort of person I remember speaking out about it and saying that she, you know, she suffered from depression was Linda Bryans. Mm. Who's also an Aware ambassador. But I remember her, and she was on U105 at the time. This would have been, I mean, they were only going 15 years ago, so this isn't really that long ago. Mm. But I remember her being part of a campaign to do with mental health, and I was just like, oh, somebody's talking about it at last. So for me, it's been important to kind of talk about it, but also because, you know, when I think back, you know, on reflection, thinking about how Stephen must have felt, you know, the series of, you know, in his head that brought him to that point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like to kind of normalize the conversation as much as possible. I think we all should. Mm-hmm. You know, we all need to be there, sort of saying, this is just part of being human. Yeah. It's nothing to hide, or it's nothing to sort of feel that you're less than, or, you know, whatever. And also just to be able to support each other, mm-hmm. you know, about recognizing whenever your friend, you know, isn't themselves, and being able to reach in and talk to them. So mm-hmm. so I find it very rewarding in that, you know, it gives me the opportunity to kind of, you know, again, this is part of who we are, but also difficult because a large part of what drives me to do it is Stephen. Yeah. And that's just always in that reminder that he...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're 100%, absolutely. And then I suppose leading on from that then, Kate, what makes you happy?
Well, funny you should ask. I'm sitting here in my kitchen, and my cat's sitting. One of my cats is sitting beside me, purring, and I'm just scratching him. And I really, if it comes down to like the basics, animals and interacting with animals is just so important. Like I don't think I could ever be not have. Well, I don't think I'd ever not have a cat, to be honest. I've up two at the minute, and I've always had I've had cats since my own house, so since the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And there's just something really calming about them, and something very...
So you're not allergic to cats?
They're keeping me company, and, yes. you know, they're just... so. Because I have Persian cats that are very affectionate.
Okay.
I know a lot of people listening to this go, oh, cats are...
Yes.
Our cats are so just like I don't know how to explain it. They're just very, they're needy in a way. Do you know what I mean? They need your company. Mm-hmm. When you're in the house, they're always with you. So I like that, and I love, to be honest. And you know, I've mentioned the swimming, mm-hmm. but yeah. But that whole experience, not just the being in the water, but the through that, and I suppose just human connection in general really makes me happy. You know, just whenever you're being with other people and sharing, you know, whatever it is, whether, you know, something good or bad going on in your life, I think that's very, very important to me. That makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, traveling. I love traveling. I love going places. And I feel, obviously, during, you know, lockdown, we haven't mm-hmm. been able to really go very many places until, you know, the next few years, being able to kind of travel somewhere nice again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're just you've hit on it on a couple of our previous podcasters, because I always ask that what makes you happy. We are social animals, so that social interaction is really important. And I suppose during lockdown we missed a wee bit of that. Yes, you can do it over the phone, you can do it via webinars and all that, but having that, being in the same room as a person, is really
nothing beats it.
Nothing beats that
energy, whatever, yeah. Just the energy of being in a room. And, you know, mm-hmm. obviously because I host big events, you know, a lot of the time, like I hosted one there a couple of weeks ago, and there was a social event, and there were 610 people
wow.
at the dinner. Yeah. And just that feeling of all of those people in a room again was amazing. Whereas mm-hmm. the year before I did the reward, it was great, it was lovely, but nothing like that. And it's just, yeah.
Sort of
energy is amazing.
Right, Kate, we are now down to the final question. And Don't be saying you're doing it. Your dream job.
Oh, my dream job.
Your dream job. What's your dream job? See, I throw a wee trick in there. A wee curveball. Yes. No, you're allowed to say it. If you're doing your dream job, you're allowed to say it.
I feel like I am, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I love radio. It's not something I had ever imagined I would ever do. Mm-hmm. And I really love it. I think I would really, at the minute I'm on two radio stations at the minute. I'm on U105 and BBC Radio Ulster. So but I cover whenever other people are off sick.
Mm-hmm.
So, or on holiday or whatever.
Cool.
So I'm not on every day. And I think at the minute my dream would be to get back on and have, you know, my own show every day again, like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, to go into TV as well. Because I just loved doing video and TV things. You know, I did quite a few webinars and things over lockdown. And as I said, years ago, I used to work on QVC on the shopping channel. So mm-hmm. I think I'd really like to get back into that. Although I think my shopping channel days are over, but I think I'd really like to do something. The kind of thing where I'm out chatting to people, you know, it's not that I think, you know, I'm certainly not into sport or politics or anything like that, but I think I'd like to do something where I'm just kind of talking to people and especially people who aren't, you know, not celebrities or anything, but just people who aren't used to being on camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that's really what I would like to do. But then who knows, a couple of years from now, that could all change.
I
want to host the Olympics or something.
Yeah. So, Kate, where can people find you? If they're looking
on
you?
On Instagram. Yes, yep. I'm radio.kate, Kate with a C, on Instagram, and I'm on LinkedIn as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on Facebook anymore because I got blocked out, but you can find me. I'm on Twitter as well.
Okay.
I'm Radio Kate on Twitter as well.
Perfect. Well, Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure. And we did mess you about a wee bit in the beginning, but due to COVID and other bits and bobs, but we eventually got it. And thank you.
My pleasure. There's no mess about it. That's just how these things are.
It is.
Sometimes it takes time.
You've been a star. Thanks very much.
No worries. Thank you.